Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on? What's going on? It's 10:04 on a Thursday night. You know what time it is. It's time for Sound Off Farms, and I'm your host, George W. Jr. I'd like to welcome you to the show. Oh, it's been a long day. I'm telling you what, I just want to thank everybody for listening in and do what they do. You know what I'm saying? I am very excited about today's show, to do the things that we need to do. And I want to just welcome you to Sound Off Forums. The things that we do on the show is for the community. The things that we should do for the show is for humanity. The things that we do for the show is exactly what it's meant to do. It is designed to help people in need. It's designed to give people hope, a sense of understanding, a sense of need, a sense of love and comfort. We've come a long way since the beginning of what we have started in this program. I'd like to thank everyone who are being supportive and supporting me. And I also thank the people who are not being supportive and don't support me. It's not my show. It's Jesus' show. He gives me the ability to do the things that I do, and I will continue to praise him and lift him up for everything that is in my life, and knowing that the battle is the battle will be won one day. And I will make sure that it continues. I will make sure that it continues to rock forward and never end, unless something comes up that keeps me from being who I was meant to be. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and get the show started. I'd like to thank everybody for putting their best foot forward and continuing to do what is necessary in order to make this show a great show. I also want to thank the people that are out there on the Facebook pages posting their opinions and posting how they feel about themselves or just different situations that they may be opposed to or also need to talk about, because, you see, those issues are real, especially in their head. It's real. So if it's the issue that's within you that you want to discuss, you have to understand, you know, people have to keep it right. They have to keep it right. You have to understand. You have to get a certain binding or some type of criteria of understanding on the rights and wrongs, because if you don't really understand it, then listen, you're going to be lost at the end of the day. So it's good for you to have opinions. It is good for you to be knowledgeable at anything and everything, because you see, the enemy knows how to, when I talk about the enemy, for those who don't understand who the enemy is, the enemy is the devil. The enemy is also called Satan. The enemy is also called Lucifer. He goes by different names, but yet still his job is the same. His job is to kill, steal, and to destroy, and he will do that very, very easily if you allow him to do that. There are things in people's lives that, you know, you may not understand. And so I'm about to go into what the topic is tonight. And I just wanted to put those things out because they are important to me, you know. Things in this world is so shady. You don't know what's right or wrong in your own mind. You feel you don't know what right or wrong is. You also feel like you're fighting against somebody, but you don't know who it is. There's always topics popping up that makes you not really know what is cool. And I just want to simply just put it out there right now. Listen, you are not alone, okay? So, without any further ado, you can find me on Facebook at george.mango.904. You can also find me on Twitter at soundoff9497413. You can also call in and chime in at any time that you would like. This is the type of show where you can call in and you get your voice heard on the air live because we're broadcasting live. Area code 347-989-1014. That's area code 347-989-9014. Listen, for the new listeners, this is how I do my show. We usually read Ephesians 6:6-13 to get the show kicked off. Okay, and so we start in the opening and ushering in Jesus to get the show started. So without further ado, it says, not with eye service as man pleases, but the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. And ye masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there a respect of the persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put upon the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers, against darkness and of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore, take up on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand within the evil day and having all to stand. Now, in verse 13, we've talked about this specific passage in the Bible, specifically in my old broadcast. And so if you want to go and check out my broadcasts, you can find that on Blog Talk Radio /soundoff97413. But you have to understand in verse 12, when he says, when Paul mentions that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, which is referring to the demons or the devils or his henchmen, or however you want to call it, what I call dark demons or dark angels, fallen angels, against powers that we have no control over in the spiritual realm, which, once again, I say dark angels, against rulers of darknesses in this world. We're talking about the rulers that is put in front of us that is being controlled by the puppets of the dominions of the devil, and also against spiritual wickedness in high places. When he refers to spiritual wickedness in high places, he was referring to the dark angels who have regents over every spot of the earth. Now, don't get it twisted. I'm not just some lackey who don't. You got to get your understanding. You got to get your understanding. In all things, is what I was been told. In all things, get understanding. So we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna jump into some stuff right now. Tonight is basically some stuff that I want to get off my chest. Now, I'm gonna specifically say this because I want people to understand. I did not do any research tonight. I didn't do no research. So everything that I'm saying, either I have seen, heard, or has been broadcast or has been read. Now, what I did do I did some stuff on a couple items on this Navy Yard ship massacre. But we'll get to that in a little bit. So I haven't been broadcasting in a while. So I got to go back way back, and you're gonna say, George, why are you talking about this? Because it's a necessary need. I haven't been on the air a while, so I've got to go back to Trayvon Martin. Okay, I got to go back to Trayvon. I've got to get Trayvon, and I'm gonna have a guest talk about that specifically, and their take on it. But the Trayvon situation, we all saw the developments of the Trayvon. We did. We saw all of the breakdowns of this. And ladies and gentlemen, let's not be naive to the fact that it's real. Okay? Let's not be naive, because the reality of what's real and what's not real, is a fraction of a mindset, okay? And let me explain what I mean by this. We have all grown up in different areas in our lives. We have all grown up in different upbringings in our lives. And we know certain things based upon how we feel and how we grew up. I'm not sitting here saying that my viewpoint is better than somebody else's viewpoint. But what I will say is this. People's viewpoints on how they see themselves is really important, because when you look at the ideas of how people love, how people react, listen, people do some very weird things in their mind to prove a point, or to prove that they're right, or to prove that their scenario must be justified. And I shake my head at something. Now let's get back to the message at hand. You see, we knew George Zimmerman was guilty. That was not even a misunderstanding of why, of what Senor Zimmerman has done, or said. So when you talk about the reality of how people think and how people perceive things, you have to understand where they come from, how they was brought up, what reason did they really mean? You see, because those things factor in. A lot of variables. And for all you mathematicians out there, you know what a variable, and scientists, you know, when you're doing a science experiment, there's variables that go in things, okay? America knew hands down that the man was guilty. You don't walk up on a young man, regardless of what he's wearing, and find him suspicious. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the executive branch. I believe in the judicial branch. I believe in the legislative branch. And I believe that it was justified in what happened, because that's what the law stated. He was taken to court. It was purely the prosecution's fault that they lost the case. Okay? I'm sitting here listening to them, and then their star witness was shaken and rattled. The defense did their job. Okay? That's the name of the game, ladies and gentlemen. The reality is this, though. The man got off. All his supporters, now listen to this. All his supporters are nowhere to be found when George Zimmerman goes and attacks his estranged wife and her husband, which happens to be Caucasian. And you would be amazed to see the report. It was no longer George Zimmerman Caucasian. It was George Zimmerman Mexican. Why? And listen, you're saying, George, why are you bringing up race? Ladies and gentlemen, race was not an issue or even allowed to be in the courtroom. The Stand Your Ground law was not even allowed to be debated in the courtroom. Thus, those two factors or variables, however you want to call them, were taken out. Okay? So you're telling me that it was a white-on-black crime and it was Stand Your Ground. Then George Zimmerman goes and attacks his estranged wife and his ex-father-in-law, soon to be his ex-father-in-law, who happened to be Caucasian, and now you're saying he's a Hispanic male, a Hispanic male versus white people. Now, this is where I'm talking about the justice and the fairness. This is why black people were so upset. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand the dynamics of what is right and what is wrong and where the variables fit in, and if it doesn't fit in, you throw them out. So why do you say race is not an issue? Race is not an issue, but it's an issue when it's just based upon what the child was wearing, where he was going, and where he was. Now, there's different reports about if he lived in the neighborhood, what he was doing in the neighborhood, blah, 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 blah. There's nothing scarier to me than a white man in a suit. Me being black. I tell you why. Because when I was growing up, we heard about the Ku Klux Klan and how they would just openly be like that. And so when David Duke ran for governor of Louisiana when I was in junior high school, I remember this now. David Duke, if you don't know who David Duke is, you need to redo some research. David Duke was the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan's chapter of Louisiana. That means that he was the highest hated of blacks, of minorities and all that stuff in Louisiana. He ran for governor. He did not win, but he had lots of support. Not only did he have lots of support, but I remember doing contraband days, and if you don't know what contraband days, that's okay. You can do your own research, and then you can find out, because I'm not going to go exactly into that. He was allowed, as an American, to go and walk in a parade to hand out flyers, bumper stickers. He had a float. Now, you ask a black person whether they're offended by that, and they will tell you yes. Why? It is the audacity of the political system to use the Constitution in order to justify something they feel like they have the right to do, which I do not disagree with. What I'm saying is a complete insult to black people who are trying to move forward. Secondly, we talk about, I hear this all the time. Why can't we move forward? Why can't we just let the past be the past? Listen, we live in the United States of America. Everything we built, everything we are built upon is based upon the past. The Constitution was made in the past. It is a living, breathing document, which means what? It means that whatever was in the past is now used in the future in order to make this a just formation. If you do not revisit it, then you're stuck in a rut. And if you're stuck in a rut, then if you're stuck in a rut, then the reality is, listen, if you're stuck in a rut, the reality is the truth will not be acceptable. Okay? The truth will not be acceptable. It will be a part of what they call a relic past. And it's hard to do. It's hard to do, you know. Now that we talked about Trayvon Martin, let's talk about, I want to get into this Obamacare thing, but I can't talk about it because I haven't thoroughly done my research on it, and I don't, you know how I do it. I like to be thorough with my, my analogies. And once again, I tell you, listen, done that, but I will be scheduling a point to talk about this Obama thing. But I will make a quick comment. The comment is very, let's see, how can I put it? I don't understand what they call the GOP. I know the GOP as the good old boy party. but listen, whether you believe in Obamacare or not, that's not the issue that I'm going to talk about. What I'm upset about is for our government to sit, I mean, listen to me clearly, to sit around and debate whether or not they are going to shut down the government based off of what they feel is injustice, that's hogwash. They are being paid to do a job. You hear what I'm saying? They are being paid to do a job. And if they are not doing their job, then they shouldn't get paid. So my question that I brought up was, should the legislative branch and the executive branch be paid? My answer to that question is no. And I'll explain my answer. The reason why I don't think that they should be paid is because these officials that we elect to be representatives of us are already millionaires. If they're not millionaires, then they own a business. If they don't own a business, then they are affiliated with another person who knows somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, that's called a hookup. And let me tell you, they have interest in whatever they choose to lobby for. Let me bring up a question for you, ladies and gentlemen. For all of those people who say Obamacare is going to do this and going to do that, for all the people who worked hard, I'm going to bring up Detroit, okay? For all the people who worked hard, bust their butts, now they're in financial ruins. They are in financial ruins. Those city officials who worked darn near almost maybe 20 plus years for the city will not get a pension. They will not get a retirement. And now you're telling me that they should not get health care? And if you can say no to that, and you can really sit there at the end of the day and swallow that, I got to pray for you. That's the only thing I can say. Because, you see, it's no longer about the individual. Because, you see, the individuals have made the right choices. It is now an entity that was supposed to have been there to protect for the future. Now, I will say this to you, ladies and gentlemen. If you are on the conservative side and you say that we should have the right to choose what companies we do, listen, you can choose whatever you want. I've got to find an article. I'm going to find that article, and then I'm going to post it on my website about this representative who was complaining because he was making less than $200,000 a year. I mean, excuse me, a month. $200,000? Listen, poor people who work hard every day don't make $200,000 in one paycheck. They barely make that a year. So you say, well, that's the choice they chose. They need to get a better job. Well, then, once again, my conservative friend, where are the jobs? Listen, put your money where your mouth is. Put your money where your mouth is. And there's more to go to that. No more to go with that. But for right now, I'll keep it peaceful. Okay? For right now, I'll keep it peaceful. And I know you don't want me to. I know you don't want me to. But that's all right. I'll keep it peaceful. Whoa. A lot of craziness. I'm telling you, a lot of craziness going on. A lot of craziness. What else we're going to speak on? Before we get to this, end of this Alexander stuff, so. Because Man, I'm telling you, it's some deep stuff, man. This deep. Just some deep stuff, man. This article right here that was near and dear to my heart. You see, I give you the article. It's armytimes.com. This article was printed on August 21st, 2013. It's under careers, and it says nearly half of the soldiers say Army isn't committed to them. I'm just going to read you just a quick insert of this, and it's. And when I read the article, ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, it is disheartening to me that this is still going on. I mean, it's so disheartening. It says nearly 50% of active duty soldiers don't believe the Army is committed to them, according to the Army survey. Now, let me give you some numbers. It says almost 50% of the soldiers don't believe that the Army is committed to them, according to the annual leadership survey. In the report released in July of 2012, the Center of the Army Leadership Survey of the Army Leadership shows that 47% of active duty soldiers and 42% of reserve component soldiers agreed and strongly disagreed that the Army no longer demonstrates that it is committed to me as much as I expected them to be committed. This is a 6% increase among troops in both components since 2012, reports say. In addition, junior non-commissioned officers shows that the highest level of agreement that the perceived unequal commitment between themselves and the Army, 58% of the active duty junior NCOs and 48% of the reserves component junior NCOs felt this way. Let me explain to you exactly what they're referring to, okay? Listen. Everybody knows, let me explain this to you. There's a certain thing called climate control, okay? And in climate control, what it does is it gets an idea of what it gives you an idea of what your employees feel, how the company is being ran, and, you know, it like I said, it's a climate control survey, and it's not like a hard, solid, hey, this is how it's going. It's just a generalization of, you know, a few questions that's out there that they put out there in order for people to try to get a baseline. And you would look at the baseline as this. When they're talking about 50% of the active duty component felt like the Army is not committed to them, you have to understand that we are still using equipment that was pretty much used during the Cold War. When I was a section chief, and I had a howitzer, I had in this howitzer I had things that was being used and being done in order to to do my missions. Now, once again, you have to understand that the equipment that we use is passed from section chief to section chief. It is used, there's other equipment that's used from soldier to soldier. Listen, and these things can go on for months, I mean for years and years and years. And I, like I said, we've been handing down equipment that's been used since World War II, maybe, you know, the Iraqi war. And this is why we complain about getting efficient and new equipment, ladies and gentlemen. It is so important that you get these equipment changes and fixes, because it helps you get a baseline of how much money do we need to actually spend for the defense budget, and how much money do we give to the Army? How much money do we give to certain people? Because, you know, each branch is allocated certain types of money. And when you're allocated certain types of monies, of course you're doing your budget, okay? So you know you need to give this much people this much money, you need to give these many people this much money, you need to give these much people this, you know, and it goes down to even the paper clips, ladies and gentlemen. All right? So it's important for us to understand where our money's being allocated to. And when you start talking about pay, the money becomes decreased. Okay? So we are working 24 hours and receiving pretty much nothing. This is the argument that is said to a lot of people who don't want to stay in the Army. Now, it's important that you understand, when they talk about the junior enlisted, the junior non-commissioned officers, we're talking about like E5s, between specialist corporals and E5s, all right? And even sometimes they talk about E6s as well, because they're not considered to be seniors yet. The understanding is this, ladies and gentlemen. If you have half of your percentage of your strength saying that they're dissatisfied based off of how they're being treated, do you think that the cohesion is there? And we're talking about deploying these people. Do you want to go to work with a person who is on the verge of breaking down? Do you want to go out with a person who's on the verge of not being right and feel like they are not worthy? These are the people that they have, you have issues with, because their ideology not necessarily is bad, but their ideology is hell, what I got to lose? They don't care about me anyway. And then you wonder why the Army is having such a problem with suicide. Is that some type of surprise? It shouldn't be. If it is a surprise, then shame on you, because that means that you're not aware of what's real in reality. Okay? So we're all held accountable for certain things. And I had this one person, I was in a discussion earlier this week, I had a person say, you know, they're not versed in the Constitution, so, you know, they're not a constitutional lawyer, and so they really couldn't answer something, you know, that's so matter of fact about the Constitution. And I say to you, we as an Americans, we should be. Because, first of all, how can you start talking about what's right or what's wrong and what's legal and what's lawful if you don't even, if you don't even know if you don't even know the basics. Are you telling me you not knowing the basics is an excuse? But you will say to a person who can't afford health care, well, you should have made a better decision? To me, those things don't make sense. This really don't make sense. Because on one hand, you're saying that they should know. But on the other hand, it's okay for you to be ignorant of the law. Now, where does that come from? And I'm not saying that I have all the answers, and I'm not saying that I'm all right. But what I do say is I try to be as fair as possible, very fair as possible. Do I fall short on that? Oh, yes, I do. But ladies and gentlemen, it's hard to believe, you know? So, we're going to go ahead and take a break. So after the break, we'll get into more depth with
they had three major policies that were going to be followed. First, Lucifer says, we have to make sure that people, humans, get to believe that Satan and his angels do not really exist.
You know, Roger, that's interesting because a recent research study report that I read indicated that in a national survey, I believe it's over 75% of people mm-hmm. do not really believe in a real tangible devil. Mm-hmm. But there is one.
Oh, yeah. The next thing, the three-part policy that they had adopted there, the second one was to find a way of being able to get total control of people's minds. And that would be done by taking hypnotism out of the realm of the occult and introduce it as a new science for the benefit of mankind. They felt that by taking hypnotism out of the realm of the occult and introducing it as a new science for the benefit of mankind, they could then use people of great renown, educators, people of capacity, that would do great things, such as supposedly regress people in time to former lives. And, of course, after the session is over, the person would not know a thing about ancient history. And the person she or he has talked about performing, you know, certain deeds, let's say, 3,000-4,000 years ago. But But this was their strategy. Now, what this would do for the thing is this, that it would create in the minds of the general public, solidly, set in the mind of the general public, an unwavering trust in that great deception. So now this would be a way of de-Christianizing the Western world through the avenue of mysticism.
The three things were, number one, that they did not want Satan did not want the human family to think that he or his angels existed.
Right.
The second point that you made had to do with taking control of people's minds.
That's right.
The third point was what?
Was to destroy the Bible without burning it.
Okay.
See.
And what was the strategy on that?
On that, it was very interesting. Because after the Great General Council, it was decided that Satan would tutor Charles Darwin personally in setting up the principles of his theories of evolution. He was tutored by Lucifer himself, Fallen Lucifer. And at that time, it was understood, Satan and his spirit counselors understood, that if a person was led to believe in the theory of evolution, it would, in his life, destroy completely the creation week of the Bible, the fall of man, and final redemption. It would do away with it. Anyone that teaches a theory of evolution is considered to be a minister of a great religious system. And he said that every teacher of that theory is recognized by the spirit as a person of great value and receives a very special unction from Satan himself, giving great power to induce spiritual blindness, to convince and convert. Three capacities. People are going to eat the stuff, because it says spirits, demon spirits, will declare themselves to be inhabitants of far distant planets and galaxies that are coming to warn the inhabitants of planet Earth of the impending destruction of the planet unless something seriously proper is done to avoid it.
All right, I'm back. Thank you for the break time. I needed it. So we're gonna continue to roll on with this thing, man. I mean, just the thoughts that I have in my head in the last couple of months that has put me in a place of just sadness for this world, an understanding that it's not true, and for the people who believe in it. And, you know, it's no use trying to it's no use trying to tell them that they're wrong. Because if you try to tell them that they're wrong, hey, you know, the reality is they don't get it. You know what I'm saying? They don't get it. But that's okay if they don't get it. If you don't get it, you just don't get it. There's two ways in order to try to tell people things, okay? You can try to give them your opinion, and then you can try to debate them. Now, I know you say, well, George, listen, there's other ways. Okay, fine. There's other ways. But this is how I say, in my understanding, ladies and gentlemen. I said that your opinions are important. Because, see, when it comes to opinions is everything that I started off the show with. Where your background's from, where your geography is, where your upbringing was from, your culture within the home or the culture within your community, the culture within your own little small bubble of a society, your religious background, your schooling. You see, all these institutions, all these things make up what they call your ideology or your belief system of how you believe in things, which gives you an opinion based on those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, I tell you what, I love everybody, and I will definitely try my best to show love. But I won't tolerate foolishness. Why should I? Especially if I'm the person who's standing for justice. You see, if you're a person trying to stand for justice and there's foolishness around and you're entertaining foolishness, then guess what? You can never get back time. Once time has been delivered, time is gone. All right? Remember that. The most important thing in your life is time. Why? Why is time important? Because you can't get it back. It ain't like you can go back and say, dang it, I wish I would have done that again. Because once it happens, you can't get it back, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're entertaining it, then you're not really trying to be the solution to the problem which you're trying to fix in the first place. Does that make sense? If not, we can go back and review it. Okay? When we start talking about this, soldier situation and how they feel, you know, another thing that was brought to their attention was this sexual harassment. Now, there's three real issues right now that's looming in the military community. Okay, I should say four. The first thing I would say is deployment. The second one would be sexual harassment. The third would be, and these are not any particular order, okay? I don't want anybody to think I'm prioritizing the importance of this. I'm just specifically saying this, okay? I'm just naming out things as it comes off the top of my head, because none of this stuff is written down. It's just straight off the top of my dome piece, okay? So like I said, his deployment, the second one, sexual harassment. The third one is the morale of the troops, of the soldiers. And then you got to think of quality of life, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if some of you understand what quality of life means or if you have ever dealt with quality of life. Quality of life for us as military statesmen, it is important because, you see, if you are a single soldier who is not married, you are, in a way, you're alienated in the first place. In some things, I mean, sometimes the married soldiers get more as far as it could be debatable, and you could throw it up in the air, flip a coin, and say that the single soldiers get more privileges than the married soldiers, or vice versa. But yeah, I guess you can even it out. I haven't been in the military in about 8 years, so I don't know how it is now. My understanding is they did take away sergeant time, which was you did sergeant time in the morning, and then in the afternoon at 3 o'clock, you're off for your family. And that, like I said, that can be debatable. Okay. And so, where do they stand? Is it a real thing? Is it a real issue? Are they getting the satisfaction that they need? Who knows? Who knows? And okay, and now we're going to go into this piece that deals with the breakdown of the breakdown of what's going on right now. I mean, they call these giving the civilian workers out. And let me start talking. I know I'm kind of jumping around, but I know I want to go back to the deployment. I want to go to sexual harassment. But I want to talk about this quality of life and family, which is totally important, which also ties into the morale part, ladies and gentlemen. If you understand one thing is that, you know, if your family is being taken care of, then you feel like you can go and do your life. If your family is not being taken care of and your family members are being stressed, then it's harder for your family members to get the soldier in the right frame of mind. So if the soldier's not in the right frame of mind, whether he's deployed or he's back in garrison, it doesn't matter. The soldier is in a specific spot in this specific area that will put him in a very delicate situation. He wants to do the right thing, but you have to understand this soldier has been taking crap from his leadership. He's been highly worked, highly stressed. Even on his vacation, he's still working because then you got to take care of your soldiers. You got to try to understand where your soldiers are. With rank comes responsibility. And let me tell you, it is very difficult not to understand that concept, because it's the real deal. It is the real deal, ladies and gentlemen. It is hard. It is hard to say the right thing when you're doing the wrong thing. And it's hard to do the right thing when you're doing the wrong thing. So in either way, you're getting beat up. I mean, and I'm talking in a military sense. Coming from our military experience and background, it is difficult to know that, you know, that one of your family members, one of your dependents has been in an altercation of either being raped or sexually harassed. Then on the flip side of that, you have single people or even married people, depending on where they're at, being improperly manipulated based on the rank structure. So, I mean, you could be it could go either way. And now, you know, the whole sexual orientation where the gay and lesbians are able to come into who are in the military now are able to be free in their lifestyle, and it is harder because you got to look at it in this point of view because the rules and regulations have not changed that I know of. And once the rules and regulations change, then the atmosphere will have to change based off of how the rules and regulations are. Now, listen, if you want to talk about a climate control area, ladies and gentlemen, listen. It's a climate control area, and when you're talking about a climate control area, it's important to you to understand that in the in the climate control area, it is important for everyone to be on the same page. When you talk about the culture in the 50s and the 60s, you know, when World War II and World War I, when blacks were being integrated into the military, ladies and gentlemen, it was so hard for people to get that concept. It did not take 2 or 3 years for that concept to fully develop, ladies and gentlemen. No. That concept was hard to develop. I mean, I don't know if you understand that or not. So and I don't want to lead you on to believe that I believe that civil rights and gay rights are in the same book. For me, those are in two separate books. They travel down the same path, but believe me, they're not on the same road. And I will tell you why later on when we talk about that. Because it's important for us to be free, but once again, it's that climate, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm referring to. I have no fault with gay or lesbian, transgender, you know, that whole stuff. I don't have any problem with that. As a believer in Christ, most people would tell you who believe in Jesus that being homosexual is against the Bible, and then I'll give you biblical things. Totally understand that. But our first commandment is to love our brothers and sisters. And beyond that, you have to get that right. So regardless of their lifestyle, do not judge them. So when you say, I don't want gay or lesbian in the military, and then you go and you throw off this Bible scripture, which is totally fine, you got to still remember you as a Christian still have other duties. Just because you're a babysitter and you're babysitting and that's all you say, all I got to do is watch them, and you don't feed them or change them, does that make you a good babysitter? That question's up to you to answer, you know. And I'm not, and like I said, I'm not getting to depth with this because this is not the conversation that I want to have. I mean, I'm simply telling you the cultural climate of how children would say that they don't feel like they're being supported. There's a lot of people who don't believe that homosexuality should be allowed in the military because it messes up cohesion. That's each their own. Now, let them fight that own argument and whatnot. What they do in their sheets is not the same as what they do as their job. And so, to that point, we'll continue to look at the cult. Excuse me. Look at the quality of life. Look at the sexual harassment. To look at the morale, and to look at the support that they're getting. And, you know, what they say in one of these articles, it said, let me pull it up. I have it here somewhere. It was basically having to do with soldiers not feeling like they were being respected. They didn't feel like they was being respected because the promotion system had really, really messed up people. And what I mean by messed up people, they don't know whether to come or go. And when it comes to either keeping the retention of the soldier, retention meaning, of course, we know what retention means. Either soldiers are going to stay in the military or stay out of the military. It's a retention issue. It's very dangerous. I mean, first of all, you have to understand that if you don't like your job, right, and you're going to be looking for a new job. More than likely, if you're just tired of the BS, you're tired of the bureaucracy that's going on, you're going to go and you're going to look for a new job. Right? Right. And when you're dissatisfied, the retention issue is part of that morale thing. I mean, listen. The livelihood of the person putting food on their table, right? Okay, now let's talk about health care. First of all, let's put this aside. We get what we call TRICARE. And if you never heard it, you need to look it up, please. If you never heard of TRICARE, please look it up. It's important. So TRICARE is our primary healthcare system in the military, okay? Now, TRICARE is privately owned. Now, like everything else, they got a contract to monopolize the healthcare system. And let me tell you, TRICARE is not the best. I'm not going to sit here and say it sucks. It is a medical thing, but it don't give you what you need. We're talking about people who put their life on the line here, ladies and gentlemen, who you say support your troops, who you say without us, the nation would not be, all that BS and you're talking about health care, let's talk about health care. Yes, military get health care. Yes, active duty reservists and National Guard get priority if they're deployable, get free dental. Now, when you talk about free dental, we're not talking about what you think we get free dental. Listen, you get a checkup to make sure your teeth is okay. And if you need to do a procedure, that's a whole different story, okay? Then on top of the flip side is don't let your family member be part of a system that is you've been diagnosed with something. Oh, man, you are jumping through hoops trying to get your family member well again. This is why Obamacare, and I know y'all going to be like, why are you talking about Obamacare? Because we're going to talk about this. This is why preventive medicine is so important. Why is the preventive medicine so important? It's important for women to get mammograms. It's important for men to have colonoscopies. Same thing as the women. It is important to do preventive measures. If you already go to the doctor and you have the symptoms of the disorder or the disease, then you are working and paying twice as much money in order to get back properly to a degree where you can be what they consider to be healthy. Now, if you are to the point where you're just saying, you know, I don't want to go, then that puts you in a critical situation or a critical stage that you can't get out of. Shit, dog. You're hurting. Huh? This is the morale that I'm referring to. And listen, this is personal experience. Everybody has a different personal experience, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm gonna lead into what has been going on in the recent paper. It's important that you understand that when I lead into the story that's been talked about, it hits home for me, okay? Now, this is coming from Washington. It says that this, and I'm talking about the Navy shipyard incident that happened, okay? And regardless of what you feel about the individual who did it and the family members, I give my condolences to the family members. And in no way am I trying to invoke anger or more hurt on the topic because I know how that feels. But what I will say is this. The Army Times has an article because it's good to get into some facts because you got CNN reporting, you got Fox reporting, you got all these major networks reporting. Let's go to this is actually the Army reporting, but he wasn't an Army guy, he was a Navy guy, so maybe I need to go to the Navy website. But according to the Army website, Army Times website, it's telling us a little bit about who this gentleman is, okay? It says investigators have been focusing on the erratic behavior of the former Navy reservist who law enforcement officials said was grappling with paranoia. He reported hearing voices and being followed before he gunned down 12 people in Washington, Naval Yard this week. The Department of Veteran Affairs said Wednesday that 34-year-old Aaron Alex visited two hospitals in a week between Monday morning and Wednesday, but denied that he was depressed or having thoughts of harming himself or others. Alex, who died in a police shootout after the rampage, complained of insomnia during August 23rd in the emergency room visit in the VA hospital in Providence, Rhode Island. He was given sleep medication and advised to follow up with his doctor. He made a similar visit 5 days later to the VA hospital in Washington, when he again complained of not being able to sleep because of his work schedule. His medication was refilled. Alex appeared alert and intent during the visit and denied feeling depressed or anxious or wanting to harm, the VA say in the statement presented to the law officials on Wednesday. 2 weeks before his ER visit, for example, he complained to a police in Rhode Island that people were talking to him through the walls and the ceilings of his hotel room and sending microwave vibrations into his body to deprive him of sleep. The Navy official said that the Newport police reported that the incident of the officials of the base security office, but nothing more was done. But because he did not appear to be a threat to himself or anyone else at the time. Despite the apparent concerns over the mental health and past run-in with the law, Alex maintained his security clearance as he arrived in Washington in the late August for the job of the information technology employee at the defense-related computer company. Alex has been a full-time National Reservist since 2007 and 2011. The Navy spokesman said that his security clearance was a secret level and was good for 10 years for when he got it. On Monday morning, he used a verified badge to gain access to the sprawl of the Naval Yard in the building 197, bringing him to saw out shotgun while he encoded message on "better off this way" and "my elf weapon" were scattered. This is the interesting part. He was enrolled in the VA health care system in February 2011 and received monthly disability payments for ortho problems and ringing of the ear, according to the VA. He never sought an appointment for mental health specialists or either canceled or failed to show up for a primary care appointment. He was scheduled at the VA hospital. So this question has been brought to my mind. Why is this man trying to get help, okay? And the VA said that he was no harm, he showed no harm to himself or others. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what the VA does to people. And for those people who don't know what the VA is about, listen, I don't want to be on medication. I want to be healed. It is easier to get drug medication for the pharmaceutical companies because pharmaceutical companies are being paid by the federal government, which the same institutions that are giving these pills know that most of these pills have side effects that affect not only the veterans, but also affects the military men and women who are in the service. But yet and still, we give these people big money contracts because the people in Washington, D.C., the Senate and the House allow this to happen. You want to talk about shut down the government? You need to shut down things like this. If the gentleman went to the ER and said that he was having insomnia, first of all, you know if you have insomnia, sometimes your body will not function right. You're not thinking clearly. Huh? Why don't you think it's clear? Now, he walks into the ER. He's having problems with insomnia. He tells them that he is having problems mentally because he's hearing things. But they tell him to follow up with his doctor. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, the VA, where I'm from, I had a VA doctor, mental health doctor. She was no longer there. It is so hard for the VA to keep professionals in certain spots. I have had five doctors now because either they retired or because they don't want to work there no more, but it's hard to get a consistent doctor to stay at the VA and have a good patient to doctor relationship. Once again, they're running through the mill. I don't have the answers for everything. Okay? I don't have the answers for everything, and I'm not saying that I do. But I know for a fact it is really hard to try to get an understanding of this man who went to the ER and said, hey, listen, I'm having some issues. I'm hearing things. What should happen? Well, When he goes to the ER, that note should be annotated, and a mental health provider should be able to call him and find out what he needs in order so he can set it up. Listen, if a person comes to me and says, I'm hearing things, I'm hearing voices, and I feel like the microwave vibrations is keeping me from sleeping, or they're, you know, there's tampering with my mind. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he works for the Navy. Now, I was in field artillery in the Army. I didn't have to really worry about microwaves. But we're talking about a Navy man. I've never been in the Navy, and if you have been in the Navy, maybe you can educate me or enlighten me, but I don't even know what the gentleman's job was let me see if they say. I don't know. I don't think they said what he did. No, they don't say. They just say that he worked for information technology, which was the Navy shipyard, which was the DOD facility. And so, listen, it's hard to understand things that you don't know much about. And if you are a military person and you do understand these things, we don't know. Listen, there's certain things that we know and then there's certain things we don't know. I was in the Army for 15 years. I don't know what the special forces do. I mean, we hear about it, but that's totally different than actually being boots on the ground in a Rangers platoon or in a special forces platoon doing our squad doing the actual things. We don't know what kind of equipment they get. We have speculation. We can find out from people who know people. But how is the public supposed to know? Now, I was looking at this Army Time webpage, and man, I kicked out so many different websites. So many different articles off this page, this Army Time site, because it's a lot of information going on. It's a lot of information, and it's tough, y'all. So what I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is put down the PlayStation. Put down the phone. If you're going to use your phone and the information flow out there just for truth, unity, understanding. This is what the Sound of Farm is about. You see, this is how we get down. We give out information. We indulge in giving you the truth. Indulge in giving you the truth. Because, you see, even nowadays, you gotta be able to distinguish what's real and what's not real. I mean, even if the information that you get over, because you can't believe everything on the internet now. But this is the information that they give us. And so what I like to do is, you know, use Jesus to guide me in my research in order to get clarification. So when I make my opinions, and then when I start putting out real information, right now, today, is an opinionated discussion. I don't consider this to be, set in stone facts and all this stuff. Listen, because I have not done multiple research. I'm telling you what I did is pulled up on the website and I'm looking at it. I'm reading you the article, okay? A little bit of it, anyway. But when I start talking about the Obamacare, ladies and gentlemen, listen, you best believe in. That I will be doing my research, and it won't just be from one. It won't be from one source. It's gonna be on opposite sides of the court. Matter of fact, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna pull up the actual, because that's how I do it, y'all. I mean, for those who are new to sign off forms, that's how I do it. I go and I look at the law that they pass. I read you the law itself, so there is no confusion about this and that and all of this. No. I read you exactly where it comes from. You understand it. If you don't understand it, I give you a website where you can go and get it. And then when you go and get it, you're going to get it. What else can I say? I love what I do, and I do what I do. Just for clarification, Trey Fly, the Sophisticated Gorillas is my intro. I want to give a shout out to them. Love the song. He is an indie artist. He has been on the show before. Love his music. He is a veteran. He is a veteran. I was stationed with him when I was in Germany. He is currently doing his thing. I love to promote the positive things that people are doing out there, even the negative things, whatever. Listen, anything is discussable on this show, okay? All I ask for is you to be respectful to people's opinion. And remember, listen, if you get angry over something that's opinionated, you need to check yourself. Now, you can get angry off of facts because, you know, nowadays, if you're watching Fox News, they don't give you facts, ladies and gentlemen. All of them don't go by these little polls that they put out there and be like, oh, this poll said that junk is a bunch of baloney. Do they show you the actual forms of the polls? Do they give you a website to say, hey, look, go check out the polls and the survey that we did and how many people we surveyed? They could have surveyed 30 people. If they surveyed 30 people, they'll say 100%, 90% out of 30 people, okay. You know, but they don't tell you that, do they? That's why I said you got to check the facts. That, you know, that little fox said, check the car facts. You got to check the car facts, ladies and gentlemen. You got to check them, okay? I'm trying not to go on a full-out rampage here. Also, when I took my my break, I was playing. His name is, I believe, Alexander Munster, Munoz. Sorry, it's French. He was discussing the. He was discussing whether or not about the what I call the devil, the Satan's plan or Satan's plot, because he breaks it down for you. You like this? Definitely breaks it down for you. And I can give you the website, a way of finding it. You can find it on YouTube. That's where I got that from. Basically, his background, and I've also done a series about him. He was a known Satanist back in the day, and he was basically telling people at the time when he was with these folks what these principalities and powers were, you know, and we're up to. And it's important that you understand who Jesus is. If you don't understand who Jesus is and know that Jesus is real, you're not going to understand half of the things I say, okay? Because I'm telling y'all, you best keep it real. Y'all best keep it real. And I'm not talking about on earthly realism. I'm talking about keep it real with your soul. I'm talking about keeping it real with your understanding of who you are as a person. Hey, Kanye said it the best. I'd rather be a dick than a swallower. And if you don't know what he's talking about, you need to go listen to that song, New Slave. He breaks it down for you. But you don't have to understand it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to pretend like, you know, nothing's wrong, life is great, and, you know, there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it, and all these different things. Hey, listen, if you want to continue to live in that life, then that's good. You continue to live in that lifestyle. But I do tell you this, it's going to catch up with you. You see, because Jesus is real and Jesus will come back. Oh, you best know this. If you don't, that's cool too. That's cool too. Nobody ain't gonna hurt nobody. All right? So, my name is George Beverly. This is Sound Off Forum. And the next time I see you or hear you, you should be sounding off. Good night. God bless.